RRS. Rousseau Reina Sophia Radio. Inaudible.
Spectres of Our Thought, Language and the Arts in the 1950s. Exhibition at the Museo Reina Sofía from September 19th to December 17th, 2012. Language, body, receipt, interdisciplinary, antipsychiatry. Kaira Cabañas, curator of the exhibition.
And I think the main shift would be to think about Artaud and his legacy and its potential effects in the generation just after World War II. And so the idea is to kind of, the exhibition is very much a kind of proposal to kind of rethink a certain history of post-war artistic practices through Artaud and his legacy. But rather than reinscribe, I think, the kind of usual association of Artaud with the theater, very much kind of taking up also his discourse related to language and the relationship between language and the body, and then how that gets taken up by different figures in the post-war moment.
Frederick Acquaviva, curator of the exhibition.
Well, what is striking is that on the period we are focusing on this exhibition for Artaud is when he comes back in Paris between 46 and 48. And this particular moment, which is very of high creativity for him, and which is not always the case with late life of artists, but it's exactly the same time that letterist, that Isidore Isou arrives from Romania in 1945 and sets up letterism in early 46. Of course, there is a relation because Artaud came to the point of, you know, shouts and even doing things with sound, like his Pour en finir le jugement de Dieu. And there is an evident connection with some of the letterists, with Jean Ribault, which was attending the lecture of Artaud, but also the figures of Gabriel Pomeran and Gilles Givolman and François Dufresne, which refers explicitly to the importance of Artaud at that time because they were 20, and who else was really a living figure, legend of poetry? So, of course, that was Artaud. In those years.
La poésie et la peinture sont devenues musique, déplacement qui signifie au fond enrichissement d'un art par un autre.
And in the context of Artaud's reception in the US, oftentimes it's written about as if it first happened, you know, in the 1960s or beginning in 58 with the publication of The Theater and Its Doubles translation in English by M.C. Richards. And then those ideas, how they're taken up in the living theater in the 1960s. And so by kind of pushing Artaud's reception back to the earlier 1950s, you find that, you know, Mary Caroline Richards is already reading her translation in progress of Artaud at Black Mountain College in 1952, and that her reading of her translation in progress was very important for John Cage, but also reading Artaud was very important also for David Tudor. And then, you know, as a result of that reading of the translation, Cage developed what's often considered to be the first happening, his theater piece number one, which was very much a kind of interdisciplinary composition. I mean, I think in the context of Black Mountain College, the question of art and life bears specifically on the question of the immanence of perception. So this question that I spoke about earlier about the kind of non-repeatability of an experience, or how one can arrive at having something that is an event rather than a representation, I think brings us to this question of Artaud about wanting to kind of seek the kind of imminence and almost immediacy of one's reception, be it in the theater or in poetry. And so Artaud's quest to kind of move beyond the kind confines of language, both written and spoken, and to kind of somehow bring word and gesture back together. I think, at least in the American context, is responded to insofar as something like theater piece number one is really searching for the imminence of perception of the spectator, and that experience would not be then reproduced in any way. In the Brazilian context, I mean, Artaud's specter is much more of a whisper, I would say, in the 1950s, but really evolves into this question of spectator participation in the relationship between art and life much later in the work of Ligia Clark and Elio Oiticica. I mean, Oiticica, by the 1970s, says that he's the son of Nietzsche and the stepson of Artaud. And there's kind of this kind of legacy in terms of his moving towards increasing spectator participation in this rapprochement of art and life as his work develops.
Well, concerning the letters, it's a bit different because, of course, in all the letters, they don't all have the same opinion. As far as Izu and Lemet is concerned, changing, well, life is not so important, and changing life begins by changing art in itself, and so that means poetry or painting, etc. So on the other side, Bro, Volman, and Dufresne are more like something for the poetry, for example, on the poesy physical poetry. It's more something which is mixed with the experience of the body.
So the exhibition really presents a structural break. I mean, you can say that we have the clinical Artaud at the end, and before that, the kind of critical reception of Artaud. I already spoke a little bit about Artaud's reception in terms of Dr. Nisa da Silveira in Rio. And so the exhibition shows some of her notes where she's explicitly, you know, copying citations from Artaud. And there are three wonderful films by Leon Hirschman, which, you know, track the painting of three of her different patients. And then this is juxtaposed to the work of Ligia Clark, who in the late 1960s and early 70s, in the midst of the anti-psychiatry movements, develops her own type of alternative therapy. So you have this kind of tracing already of Artaud's specter in, you know, the early 50s in Nisa da Silveira's proto-anti-psychiatry, right? I mean, because it's much earlier than the actual, you know, historical appearance of anti-psychiatry as a movement. So you have archival documentation related to that, and also related to his Artaud's theatrical incarnation in Rio, actually also in the 1980s. But then the exhibition ends with material related to the lettres. And
yes, because as they are always critical, it's also they brought they were against anti-psychiatry, so it's a kind of anti-psychiatry room with material mainly related on Izu, because not only he wrote a book on Artaud and drew also the figure of Artaud, but he was also cured because he had a mental breakdown, to say that, mental breakdown, and he was cured by Gaston Ferdière, so the doctor of Artaud, of course, and so he was very much against this radical neo-Nazi, and so he wrote many, many pamphlets with Maurice Lemaître against Dr. Ferdière, and they got into court, and etc. So there is a strong relationship which is moving between Izu and Artaud, that give a sense also to the introduction of Izu himself in this exhibition.
RRS. Museo Reina Sofia Radio.